Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Thank you for the privilege of being called your own. The privilege of relationship. The privilege of being here. We worship you. We honor you. And we adore you. Breathe upon this service this morning. Let no one person leave here the same way they have come. Be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise. Please take your seat. Powerful ministration by the Asaphites. Powerful ministration by the Dunamis voice in the first service. And your dressing is very colorful. When I grow up, I would like to be like this. I'm sure you know I'm still growing. Praise the Lord. The Art of Soul Winning, Part 2. I welcome everyone to this service this morning. I believe that God is doing something very, very great in our midst. This is Part 3, actually. Part 1 was Wednesday midweek service. Part 2 was the second service. And this is the Part 3. And like I did in the second service, I would like to quickly go through what we started on Wednesday. Our text was Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15. The Bible said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Last Wednesday, we saw our objective, and the media will just scroll through like we did in the first service, as understanding the keys to effective and productive soul winning. The keys. We have three things that we looked at by way of introduction. First, that we have a mandate of soul winning from our Master Jesus as his departing words to his disciples. I might not dwell on this because of time. It was his departing. The last thing he said to us was to go into the world to preach the gospel. We have that mandate. Number two, we said that we have the commandment of soul winning as the major purpose of our being saved by God. It's a commandment that our major purpose of being saved is to proceed in saving others. Number three, we saw that soul winning is the heartbeat of the Father. The scriptures made it clear that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the Father. We saw that many people are ready to win souls, or they need to, they want to, but they don't know the right approach. How do we approach soul winning in order to see results? Number one, we said through the display of love and friendliness. Many Christians are naturally hostile to unbelievers, naturally unkind. In those days, most Christians literally drove people away from church by their unkindness through the display of love and friendliness. Number two, we said it's through the display of godly character. Before people hear what you are saying, they see how you live. Most times our attitude drives away people from God. The people in the office say, oh, if that is what it means to be a Christian, then I'm already a Christian. Through the display of godly character. Number three, we saw it is through the possession of divine presence. When people come around you and they can feel God, when they come around you and they can feel the presence of God, when they come around you and there is something about you that reminds them about God. Number four, we talked about true sharing the testimonies and our encounters with God, with others. That's what the sister was saying in this testimony. That what kind of Jesus did you encounter and you can't tell anybody about it? Through sharing our testimonies, sharing our encounters with others. What has Jesus done to change your life? Where are you coming from? How much fear of death did you walk in before you met Jesus? And then number five, we talked about through drawing the attention of others to the purpose of man's life in the earth. We need to let people know that we don't own our lives. We did not create ourselves. Many people don't know. You think I should? I want to do what I want with my life. No, that life is not yours. It's not yours. That was where we stopped on Wednesday. We went further with two more steps today. That led us to number six. And that is, through sharing the good news of God's love and salvation plan with others. Many people don't know that we serve a God of love. That was what we read today. Only a God of love can make Solomon to be king. Beersheba. Uriah the Hittite. Uriah the Hittite's wife, Beersheba, had an adulterous relationship with David. It led to a child that God killed. The second child out of that relationship is Solomon. God killed a child that came out of that relationship and made the other child to be king. How? That is how God, people don't understand the loving heart of God. But that loving heart is no license to live carelessly. That leads us to point number seven. As we share the good news, we also draw the attention of people to the reality of eternity. That there is an eternal hell. There is an eternity. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I told a story in the last service. Of Maurice Cerullo, who saw the vision of how people are trooping in a straight line, enjoying their lives. All of a sudden, they come to the end of a cliff and realize that the next thing before them was to drop into hell. At that time, they want to revive, but it was too late. And they are pulling their hairs as they realize that at the end of their life's journey, what was next was hell. Many people don't know. I told the story of Lord Byron, a billionaire who said there was no God. Think an American billionaire. And when he was dying, the nurse who sat at his bedside said he hates to watch an atheist die because the man was cringing He saw the hell he was going before he went there. He said, the flames of hell are mine alone. I talk about Voltaire, who boasted that 100 years from the time he was talking, an atheist, the Bible cannot be found anywhere in the world except in a dusty museum. But 50 years after he died, he didn't reach 100 years. The place from where he boasted that the Bible The noted French infidel Voltaire, who died in 1778, declared that in 100 years from his time, Christianity will be swept from existence and passed into history. Only 50 years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society used Voltaire's press and his house to produce stacks of Bible. Both his press and his house. The same man who said the Bible went straight to the flames of hell. And from then till today, the Bible has remained the number one bestseller of all times, selling billions of copies every year. We need to alert the people that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It is not judgmental preaching. It is reality talk. You know what they call reality show? It's reality talk. Let's face reality. There is a heaven and there is a hell after death. Numbers. We dealt with all of that in the last. All right. What number was that? That was number 7. True, drawing the attention of others. And then number 8. It's what we are dealing with right now. Through the display of God's mercy and power to relieve the afflictions of people. You display mercy. You display power to relieve the afflictions of the people. Showing such mercy and showing such power is an avenue to lead people to the Lord. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So there is a power for witnessing. There is a power that is used to change the lives of people. We communicate mercy. And we demonstrate the power of God to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Acts 10:38. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. We read already in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to verse 20. He said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs and with wonders following. Amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. That was what Philip did in Samaria. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to verse 6. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to verse 6. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Somebody say, but do I need to become a full-time evangelist to deploy mercy? No, you don't have to. All you have to is to look at a downcast, depressed looking colleague in the office, and you just say, "Beloved, you are not looking happy today. Is there something I can pray with you about? Can we agree on something?" There is power in agreement. And she said, "Oh, really? I have been feeling so bad. Husband is out of job. The whole weight of the family is on my head. I don't know who to talk to." You say, "Oh, really? Let's agree in prayer." But as we are agreeing in this prayer, I'd like you to know that ultimately, God must be the center of our lives. And we also have to prepare for life in the afterlife. And you pass in the gospel message through there. And having passed through that gospel message, before we pray in agreement for this need, let's agree and surrender ourselves to God. Pray this prayer after me. All right? And you have done that. And after doing that, you pray on the issue, "Father, I hand over this matter in your hands. Intervene in the life of this, your sister, your daughter. Visit the family, visit the husband." You've done your part, you leave the rest in the hands of God. And most times, the miracle happens. Or somebody may tell you, "I got a diagnosis. They say the baby in the womb is not moving. I don't know what to do." Let me pray in agreement with you. This is mercy evangelism coupled with power evangelism. Where you are showing mercy, you are displaying mercy, and also demonstrating the power of God to get the people saved. Now hear this. In leadership, the popular quote from John Maxwell said, "People don't care what you know until they know that you care." People don't care what you believe until they are convinced that you care. Whether you are talking heaven or hell, some people may not care until they are convinced. They are convinced. They are convinced that you care. Happy to see you here, Mama. Right. Thank you. I'm happy to see you, Mama. Arise. This mama is how old now?
She's almost 87.
She's 87 years old now. That's why I came to her. I came to her because there was a time she was totally paralyzed, right? She was bent over. Show us how bent she was then. She's showing you. Camera is looking somewhere else. Look at this. Can the camera show us? She's bent double. Which year was this? About 14 years ago. I think she was in Kaduna at that time.
Yes, she was in Kaduna. And my brother was outside the country. Wanted to come and take her so that she can be treated there, because they gave us a diagnosis that she had just 3 months to live. She was having heart. It was part of what she was having was a heart issue. So she said no, that she wants to come to the place where her wife was healed. So, and the family now said, okay.
Place where she was healed. She was healed.
Her name is Hawa.
Tell us, that's her daughter. Mm. This is the mother of this person talking.
Yes. So I asked, I was a little scared. Even though I was delivered
I'm talking of power evangelism. Mercy. I want to come where she was healed. Now, what was she healed of? Tell us of your own.
I was asthmatic. They said I had ischemic heart disease. I had ulcer. I was allergic. My leg was crooked.
Leg was like this.
I usually walk like this.
Take a look at it. I want the camera to show her. Leg was crooked like this. Yes. Bent to the side.
Yes. And I had a shoe. One was higher than
the shoe
other.
Was higher. She had an orthopedic shoe that had to make for the height of the second leg.
Yes.
Second leg, one leg was like how many inches shorter than the other? So it went like this, and the shoe had to balance the leg. Show the devil how you can walk now. So take me to where she was healed, yes, who was bent double. And that is Mama, 87-year-old Mama, who was given 3 months to live about 15 years ago. The 3 months has not come.
Yes, sir.
Are you just sitting and looking like that? You cannot just sit and look like that. We are serving a God that is real. We are serving a God that is powerful. We are serving a God that is merciful. God is about to do something in your life that will affect your family members, that will affect your loved ones, that will pull people to come and know Jesus. I wish somebody can give the Lord a clap, a shout, and a leap of joy here. Hey, 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 hey. Tell somebody by your side, tell them, get ready for your testimony. A testimony that will change the life of someone near you. These are the kind of things that pushes us on. The word of God plus living testimonies like this. That no matter the case, there are witnesses and evidences that will show that your own case is not difficult for God. That the God who changed one will change another. Give the Lord a shout of praise and take your seat. Congratulations, Mama. And the Lord caused you to see the children's children's children. You already saw children's children. Now children's children's children. Give the Lord a big clap and a loud shout of praise. That was number 8. Number 9, it is true sharing with others. The benefits of living for God as against living for the devil. We need to let people know how it profits to live for God versus living for the devil. In Psalm 1 verse 1 to verse 3, the Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like the tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is the one who is serving the Lord. Look at verse 4. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That is, whatever you see about a sinner today, where if they are healthy, if they are prosperous, if they appear successful, the tomorrow of it is not guaranteed. The tomorrow of it is not guaranteed. Somebody, I shared with you the story some time ago, where a billionaire, plain owner billionaire, I have more details to say, but I cannot go into that. Plain owner billionaire told his wife, can you please just agree to die? Yes. It looks like there was a demand of sacrifice from wherever he was connected. And he wanted the wife to go. And he asked the wife, anything you want, I will give you if you will just agree to die. So the wife said, if I agree to die and you give me anything I want and I die, who will use it? What will I do with it? So his life became miserable. And all manner of life he was living. Plain owner billionaire. One day, somebody said to me, he said, I saw this same man in economy class of plane from, is it Lagos or Abuja? Abuja is Lagos. See, is this the same man? Billionaire. He left that level of billions, the level where he wanted to sacrifice his wife. He left that level and crashed. No more private plane, nothing. He was sitting inside the economy class, squeezed with others. That was before he passed out of this world to eternity. That is the life of anybody who doesn't. You may know them now, but you are not certain of their tomorrow. Some, once they blink their eyes, all manner of demonic encounters. Am I communicating? No Jesus, no life. No Jesus, no life. No life. When a person is, this is what people must be made to know. The things of this life are so deceptive, though so deceitful. Isaiah chapter 48 verse 22, the Bible said, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. No peace. Isaiah 57, 21 repeats it. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. These are the things we let people know. That your welfare in this world and in the world to come is only guaranteed with your relationship with God. Peace, rest, tranquility is only guaranteed with your relationship with God. And Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That is, your death is profitable only if you lived for Christ. Death was a loss if you didn't live for Christ. No matter how big a person is, their death was a loss. And all the things, I heard that there was a madman standing by the graveyard of a rich man that just died. And he was standing there, some part of this country. And he was looking as they dug the grave and they put the man in the grave. As you are about to pour the earth. He said, wait. Madman. See his cardel. Put it. See his lorry. Gongoro. Put it. See his duplex. That was when people sense. You know, people who lose their sense can talk sense at times. Who lost their sense? That was when sense was entering people. That all the things this man labored for is left on the earth, while only him is going to face his maker. The people he hated may be the one to eat the food, eat the thing. The people say, look at you. I thought you said you want to live forever. Yeah, man. Let's share his property. Are you following what I'm saying here today? I heard of somebody who died. It was the pastor who was telling me. He's the siblings of that person. They started dividing the cloth the same day. The dress. The same day, not another day. Please, let us live for what matters. Let us live for what matters. Let us not live for those things that do not matter. Let's tell the people. Let's let people know. A man can be rich enough to marry the finest wife, in quote, because beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, and to throw the most elaborate wedding, but nobody is rich enough to have a good home. A good home is not money necessarily. You can build a house, but you can't have a home. You can buy bed without buying sleep. You can buy a watch of $1 million. One man came to my office one day in Irrawaddy. He said, this watch is $1 million. You can have a watch of $1 million, but you can't buy time when it is time to go. cannot say how much is, what's the price of 1 year I want to pay for one more year. How do you say it in Yoruba? Eh? Say it. Mofera oduko. Mofera oduko. That's right. How much can I buy 1 year? Eloni mofera oduko. Oduko. Eloni. Egole. Egole otuafo. Otua. How much? You can't buy no amount of money. Do you understand? That is the futility. You bought a good. My wife treated a man who had a gunshot wound inside his bulletproof car. His gun shot him, his own gun, inside the car. He fired and shot him inside the car. Not a external bullet. Shot by himself. It fired. The gun fired. I don't know what happened. It fired and fired him inside the car. Not from outside. It was inside a bulletproof car. Dr. Misenenche treated the man 30 years ago. Hallelujah. That is how life is. That's the futility of all of these things. And we need to draw people's attention so that we can begin to focus on the things that really matter. Steve Jobs, at the age of 53, had pancreatic, that's Apple computer, Apple everything, was diagnosed of a deadly pancreatic cancer. And he said, once that happened, all of his life came into perspective. And he began to wonder, what is this life all about? And he said to his university students, what will you do when you have 24 hours to live? He said, that is what to focus on, because one day you will have only 24 hours to live. Will you go and make the new latest hairstyle? What will you do? You will do the things that you consider important. That is what we need to tell people. Need to let people know that. Finally, in conclusion this morning, what are the hindrances that make people not to be able to evangelize? I mentioned two in the first service, and I'm going to mention two right here. Number one is the lack of full understanding of the purpose. Number one, the lack of full understanding of the purpose of our existence. People don't really know why we live, that God made us. Number two, we looked at that, the allowance of fear and the absence of boldness. Somebody say, I'm afraid. I'm not bold. I don't know how to talk to people. And we say that what is driving you is the passion and the responsibility to see that people don't end their journey in hell. That passion that drives you to ensure that what you need to do, you have done it for people, and you leave the rest in the hands of God. You can't allow fear. You can't allow the lack of boldness to cause people to die, go to hell, when you could have just said a word, passed the tract. Allowance for fear. Number three, which is what we are dealing with in this service, is the lack of a full understanding of the purpose of our salvation and redemption. We don't understand it. What is the purpose of our salvation? What is the purpose of our redemption? John chapter 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You are not the one who chose me. I chose you. and I chose you to be fruitful. In case you don't know what it means to be fruitful, Proverbs 11:30 tells us, he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. Soul winning is fruitfulness. He said, I saved you so that through you, somebody can be saved. I don't know, from my own life, I don't know the number of people that have been saved because I was saved. I don't know. When we go to eternity, I will know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18, he said, all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God reconciled you so you can reconcile others. He reconciled us to himself. So we are not, the purpose of salvation is not to sit and wear new dress every Sunday to church and impress people with how nice we look, and just come and just sing and clap and go. That is liability existence, a burdensome existence to the kingdom. Your life is not saving lives. You are wasting heaven's agenda. Somebody should be getting saved in your office, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your family. Somebody. Is it that we like to waste money that we go, how we go? We went with helicopter. We went with plane. The wastage of money. One of the countries we went in the Americas, what was given like an appreciation is not up to what can take care of flight from here to Lagos. We spent ourselves to go and spent ourselves to come for souls to be saved. We went to the beautiful country of Namibia. They say you need to see where the ocean meets the desert. You need to see this. You need to say, we didn't have time to see nothing. Went to Jamaica. You come and see this museum and come and say that we had no time for anything. What drives us? We are aware that our salvation should save others. Am I communicating at all? And I want somebody to rise with a challenge today. You are hearing me. Rise with a challenge. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, we already read it. For to me, to live is Christ. Living is Christ. You don't need to struggle about the matter. You pass out a track. You tell somebody your story. The way you write your to-do list every week, talk to someone about their soul on your to-do list in the week. And then trust God to get the opportunity where you can just start a discussion with somebody. Oh, country is bad, this and that and that. You pass through that discussion. You say, that is what I mean. There's nothing. It's not even just that the country is bad. The whole of this world system is doomed. That's the truth. And the only thing that is secure and certain is relationship with God. You pass through there and you are on your way. And you have assisted somebody to reconnect with their creator. Very, very important. When people don't know why we are saved, why we go to church, then they just play religion. But somebody today, fresh fire is coming upon you. Can I hear a louder amen? Can I hear the louder believers say amen? Finally, is the allowance of sin and compromise. When your own life is not clean, it's not clear, the boldness to talk to people is not there. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1. He said, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. that boldness that we talked about earlier on comes with your right stand with God. Acts chapter 24 verse 16, Paul the apostle says, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience that is void of offense towards God and towards man. Compromise deflates confidence. Say that again. Compromise deflates confidence. You are unable to confidently talk to, you don't even have the drive. You don't even have the push. You don't even have the passion. A voice is talking to you. Who are you to talk to somebody about God, about life, about righteousness? What, see your own life. That voice will be holding you back. You know, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. And if you want to move powerfully in changing lives, you need to come to the point where you are straight with God and not playing games. In conclusion, the same conclusion that we gave, perfection is a product of practice, and excellence is the product of exercise. What is the meaning? Practice the art of soul winning and you perfect it. Exercise yourself to godliness. Do it as an exercise. Don't forget what I said. And next Sunday, remind me to say it again. Put on your to-do list this week, Lord, lead me at least to a soul to lead to you. Let me enter into a discussion that will lead to somebody's salvation. For some, it can be a daily to-do list. Daily. But for all, minimum of weekly, let me. Do you see how we went to Ankpa and then to Boko and then to Makurdi and then to Benue State University? 4 crusades in 1 week. Then we came back. One of my children spoke with me this week. He said, Daddy and Mommy don't like rest at all. You came from 4 crusades and then you fixed program for Kingdom Financial Support and fixed night vigil for workers. And the child wasn't aware that there were 2 more outreaches. Friday and Saturday. Why? What drives us? It is, you have it on your shed, on your life's shadow. So life's shadow. We saw this last week, so let's see other ones today. Hallelujah. It's a new day for you. Everyone connected to this altar, you shall make it. I'm not just talking of making it financially, you shall make it with God. God will help you to do the right thing. God will help you to end at the right place. God will help you to fulfill your purpose in the earth. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace to live for you, to do your will, to fulfill your purpose for my life in the land of the living. I receive that grace in Jesus' name.